The German director Wolfgang Petersen became one of the most sought-after names in Hollywood after his 1981 film Das Boot. But then he made Enemy Mine, The Never-Ending Story, and Shattered, and suddenly people weren't talking about Wolfgang Petersen anymore. Still, maybe all he needed was a dose of Clint Eastwood. Film critic Stephen Schiff went to see their collaboration in The Line of Fire.
At 62, Clint Eastwood isn't fighting his age. He's embracing it. And just as that embrace made him a better filmmaker last year in Unforgiven, it's made him a better actor here. This is the finest performance of Eastwood's career. A lot of people will protest that that's not saying much, and maybe they've got a point. Most of Eastwood's acting has been little more than squinty eyes and a soft, flat voice. And the characters he's played haven't often demanded much more than that. They've been killing machines, stolid and invulnerable, Schwarzeneggers without the comic book muscles. Well, Frank Horrigan, the Jurassic Secret Service agent Eastwood plays in The Line of Fire, is a giant step beyond the man with no name. Horrigan, the movie tells us, was there the day JFK was killed, and he's still kicking himself about it. It was the thing that ruined his life, ruined his marriage, made him crabbed and inward and bitter. Unfortunately, someone out there named McCrawley knows all this, and he likes to call Frank up during the boozy wee hours to talk about it.
McCrawley?
Why not call me Booth?
Why not Oswald?
Because Booth had flair, panache, the leap to the stage after he shot Lincoln.
Where are you?
Closer than you might imagine. It's very exciting to talk to you. I feel like I know you.
Oh, how's that?
I've read about you, seen photos. You were JFK's favorite agent, the best and the brightest. But that was a long time ago. What's kept you in the game all these years?
Why don't we get together and have a drink? We could talk about that.
Oh, I'd love to, but I think the less you know about me, the better.
Why?
Because I'm planning to kill the president.
That's John Malkovich on the other end of the phone taunting Eastwood. And under Peterson's taut direction, the two of them make up the most insinuating cat-and-mouse game since Eastwood faced Andy Robinson in Dirty Harry. It's a titillating contrast of acting styles. Eastwood with his lumbering star quality, stiff and noble, the way Cooper and Gable and Wayne were stiff and noble, versus Malkovich with all his method-trained curlicues, playing an assassin who can do anything, be anywhere, change faces and voices and moods. The story itself is a string of action thriller clichés, but the filmmakers handle it all so gracefully that the clichés come to seem honorable old conventions, like the three chords of a blues song that ring all the truer when you hear them played by a master. The screenplay by Jeff McGuire is witty and terse, and Peterson directs the action scenes with a refreshingly old-fashioned concern for clarity and pace. Best of all, though, is the way he works with his star. Eastwood has always been a potentially great romantic figure, but no one has ever plumbed that potential quite the way Peterson does here, in Eastwood's flirtation with a fellow agent played by Rene Russo. When he's abashed by his feeling for her, or dazed and frightened by his encounters with Malkovich, or haunted by his memories of that November day in Dallas, Eastwood's vulnerability is enormously touching. In the Line of Fire is certainly the best movie the big studios have given us so far this summer. You can't watch it without knowing who the real last action hero is.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.